Good morning. The Hebrew Bible lesson this morning is from Deuteronomy. I guess that's the biggest word today. Chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. And it's on page 129 in the Hebrew Bible. And in the large print Bible, it's page 233. Hear the word of the Lord. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Hear the word of the Lord. The responsive psalm reading is Psalm 119. And that's page 841 in the hymnal. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep God's testimonies, who seek God with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in God's ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the reproach which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life.
Today's epistle lesson comes from the first letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 156. And in the large print edition on 203. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For one, when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 5, verses 21 through 37. In the Pew Bible, in the New Testament section, you'll find that on page 4. And in the large print edition, it's on page 5. Again, remember, we're doing the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to his apostles after having talked to the crowd, but they go up on the mountain. He's got these important lessons to impart to them and to us. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser will hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, it boils down to a matter of choice. That's the message from both Moses and Jesus, because that's the message from God Almighty. God loves you, and God has given you the foundational gift of humanity, and that is free will. You can choose to accept God's offer of salvation and eternal life and follow Jesus Christ, or you can choose to follow the ways of the secular world. It really is that simple. Listen again to the words from Deuteronomy. The context of this is that Moses is speaking to the chosen people. Moses knows from God's message that he's about to die, that he will not go into the promised land. But he knows also that the chosen people will cross the Jordan River to go to that promised land. "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Well, Moses set up a stark contrast, a clear question of either or. Choose life and prosperity or death and adversity. The choice he proffers is to obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees and ordinances, or to be led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them. Now, to our modern ears, this may sound anachronistic, that is, coming from another time and therefore not relevant to our lives. But I wonder if in 2014 we might actually find ourselves serving other gods, other idols in the form of money or sex or ambition or food or fashion or electronic gadgets, or our jobs, or our retirement over the Lord. Could it be that you might be bowing down to other gods and serving them? Listen now to a different book of the Septuagint, which is a different form of the Hebrew Bible. It's not in our Bible, but this is a passage from the book of Sirach that speaks directly, I believe, to this choice of free will. If you choose, you can keep the commandments, and to act faithfully is a matter of your own choice. He has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you choose. Before each person are life and death, and whichever one chooses will be given. For great is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and sees everything. His eyes are on those who fear him, and he knows every human action. He has not commanded anyone to be wicked, and he's not given anyone permission to sin. For Jesus, in his words on the Sermon on the Mount, there is another, perhaps more subtle choice to be made as well. Jesus begins with the commandments, decrees, and ordinances that Moses mentions to the chosen people. And Jesus makes this important assertion. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Well, with that as the starting point, Jesus offers us the opportunity to not only follow the letter of God's commandments, but also to live out the true meaning and intent of God's decrees. And so today, we have these several examples from Jesus where he says, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." So when you get a chance, I want you to go back and reread these passages from Matthew, because there really is a lot there to ponder. Finally, Paul asks the Corinthians to exercise their own free will, to remember what Paul taught them, and to make a choice about how they will respond to God. And that choice centers on his assertion that you are God's field. Take a look at the image on the cover of your bulletin. A I'm serious. Take a look. In the example of the Corinthians, it was Paul who offered them the good news of Jesus Christ. It was Apollos who encouraged the people in Paul's absence. And it was God who helped the people grow in faith and love and action. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field. God is telling us through Paul's words that we have a choice to make through our own free will. If you are willing, you can be God's field. God is offering to prepare the soil of your life and to plant in you the seed of the kingdom of God. This seed is for you the amazing gift of the Holy Bible, this Spirit-inspired book that explains the work of Jesus Christ and the true nature of God and the kingdom of heaven here on earth. God has offered you teachers and preachers and Bible study groups and all sorts of other ways that the Holy Spirit can encourage you along the way of your faith journeys. And God has promised that if you attend to these means of grace, that God will provide the amazing growth in love and faith and action. If you are willing, you can choose to be God's field, and God will provide through you an amazing growth of faithful fruit, abundant spiritual grain. And God will then see you through to the harvest of eternal life. My sisters and brothers, it truly boils down to a matter of choice. God loves you, and God has given you the foundational gift of humanity, the gift of free will. You can choose to accept God's offer of salvation and eternal life and follow Jesus Christ, or you can choose to follow the ways of the secular world. It really is that simple. You are God's field. Amen.